Isaiah chapter 30. And now go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly, in an instant, and its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of a cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5 you shall flee till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The gospel reading this evening calls to mind those we hear at the end of the church year. Be ready at every moment. Keep watch. Using the comparison of a servant awaiting the return of his master following a wedding banquet, Jesus calls us to vigilance. There's no telling what time he's coming back, and guessing is no use. The only way to be sure you'll be prepared to greet him when he comes is to be in a state of constant expectation and readiness. Isaiah uses a somewhat different image in our text. Whereas Jesus' illustration seems to have been crafted to apply especially to his disciples in their calling as his servants in the household of God, Isaiah's seems less individual. Instead, he focuses on a broader, encompassing the whole community. He writes of residents of a city under siege. The great city wall has weathered many attacks. It still stands, but an ominous bulging out reveals that it has incurred great structural damage. At this point, it's not a question of whether it will catastrophically fail, but when. Anticipating vocabulary Jesus would use, Isaiah writes that its breaking will come suddenly, in an instant. But what is all this about? Where does this catastrophe of which Isaiah prophesies originate? Isaiah was proclaiming the word of the Lord to his chosen people Israel, in rebellion against him. They were, Isaiah writes, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. I find it difficult to imagine that the people were actually so bold as to say such things aloud. It doesn't surprise me that people would think such things. Each one of us is tempted to expect that God conform to our image, in the image of man to create him, male or female to create him, whatever suits our fancy. Often enough, when God's word makes us uncomfortable, like little children, we figuratively put our fingers in our ears and say, la, 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 I can't hear you. That is a terrible sin. But it takes utter shamelessness to order one of the Lord's seers not to see anymore, or to instruct a prophet of the Lord not to speak the truth, and never to mention the Lord God again, to instead prophesy illusions and only ever soothing words. Perhaps then what Isaiah wrote is more a characterization of what the people were saying than it is a direct quotation of their speaking. On the other hand, perhaps things had gotten so bad that by Isaiah's day, people were actually saying such things aloud. I said I find it difficult to imagine this, but either I'm getting more imaginative as the years go by, or the evidence in our society, the ever-growing bulge in the wall, as it were, makes it seem less and less improbable each year. No matter how forthrightly Israel stated their opposition to the Lord and his word, Isaiah would have none of their demand, let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. He writes, therefore thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise the word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Hearing these words from Isaiah, it's difficult not to see frightening parallels to our nation and our world today. It too despises the word of God, trusts in oppression and perverseness, relies on them. It's not just the embrace of abortion on demand, growing acceptance of a so-called right to die, opposition to God's creation of marriage and gift of family, rejection of the truth that God created humanity as male and female. The list could go on. None of these things could exist, though, if the word of God was held to be sacred and everyone was glad to hear and to learn it. And there's not even any shame in embracing what God has forbidden. Rather, the claim is trumpeted now that we are on the right side of history and the power of the state is used to quash any resistance. And boy, have we seen the state using its power in the past 20 months or so, restricting Christians from meeting together, coercing people to act against their conscience. Isaiah writes, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse. But that's all about out there in the world, right? It's not as if we glory in the things of which we should be ashamed, is it? When he was confronted with the holiness of God, in terror, Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Dwelling in the midst of uncleanness, living in a bulging world, affects the way you think and speak and behave. If you don't believe me, try this thought experiment. Imagine how your grandparents or great-grandparents would react to the sort of things that you tacitly accept as just the way things are. And you'll begin to see the influence society's standards have had also on you. "This iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall," Isaiah writes, "bulging out and about to collapse." How many smooth things have you accepted, perhaps unwittingly? Illusions contrary to what is right and true. When our Lord was asked about some Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, he responded that this did not mean that they were more terrible sinners than others were. "No," he said, "but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And then he encouraged the people to take the same lesson from the 18 who perished in the collapse of the Tower of Siloam. These things, and so many others, are a sign that there will be an end and a day of judgment. The world in which you and I live is a bulging world. And that brings up the question, are you ready for the day of the Lord, when the heavens will pass away with a roar and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed? That day is surely drawing near. What are you and I to do? The Lord says, "In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." There's nothing there about salvation and vaccination, is there? Returning here might also be translated repentance. In turning from your sin, in turning to God's words, which reveal his standards and provide his promises, in resting in full and free forgiveness in Jesus Christ, in these things, and in these alone, you shall be saved, delivered on the day of wrath and distress and darkness, on the day the bulging wall finally breaks and is pulverized. That's the time St. Paul is talking about in today's epistle reading. Less than 10 verses before what you heard, he had written, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Whether it's labor pains or a bulging wall, worshippers being slaughtered, or towers falling, something is about to happen. And to be one of the Lord's sheep is to be regarded by the world as deserving of slaughter. Tribulation and distress and persecution, danger and the sword, the coercive power of the state, these St. Paul says the elect of the Lord can expect to face. Turning from the standards of the world, striving to live according to the standards of the Lord, won't win you friends on earth. Before he was arrested on Holy Thursday, Jesus said it very plainly. In the world, you will have tribulation.
But in the end, none of that matters to those who are the Lord's. That's why repenting and relying on Him is so urgent. Why holding His word sacred and gladly hearing and learning it is so vital. Because it gives life. In Him that is baptized into Christ, trusting in His righteousness, depending on His promises, redeemed and forgiven. Nothing in this world, nothing in all of creation, can sever you from the bonds of God's love for you in Christ. The Lord did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for you. Your strength, your salvation, is in quietly trusting in Jesus, relying on His perfect obedience for you, trusting His intercession with the Father, His standing up for you and covering you with His holy perfection. Then, according to His sure promise, when the bulging world eventually gives way, when the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, when its waters roar and foam, when the mountains tremble at its swelling, then you will continue to stand, upheld by His righteous, omnipotent hand, secure because the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. God grant you grace as the alarming bulging of the world continues, that faithfully hearing His word, you would always be turned to Him and trust in Him, secure in His love, to His glory, and to your eternal salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.